Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. He's also a Crown Ministries budget coach and a business and church consultant as well. We would love to hear from you. To schedule an appointment with Tom, call 800-386-3700. You can also visit online at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up for our free quarterly newsletter. Pick up a copy of Tom's latest book, The Economy of God. And we are jumping right back into this. We're in part number two of a 10-part series.
Yes, we are. And I'm excited about it. But first, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Do you know the verses?
Yes, I do. Oh, wait. The new verses for this week are our normal verse.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's hear it, Tom.
I thought you were going to say it.
No, I thought we were doing our normal verse that we start off
well,
with.
Well, we are. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
All scripture is God-breathed and inspired. It's useful for teaching, training, and correcting in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Right.
You threw me.
I know.
But that's the one.
I'm in a silly mood.
Okay.
I just ate my lunch and I'm like, okay. Ready for my nap.
No, no nap. We've got to change this city.
Come on. Change the city. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, training, correcting, and rebuking in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the four anchors, of course, ownership, stewardship, giving, and contentment.
And those are the four anchors that God's economy is based on.
Absolutely.
That God is the owner. We're the stewards. Mm-hmm. We've got to give, and we've got to find contentment.
Absolutely.
Versus the world's anchors, which would be mine, 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 take, 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 greed, greed, greed.
Materialism, money, he who has the most is the best, all that kind of stuff.
Now, we have a four-part recipe when we start looking at different scriptures and at different topics. And
Absolutely, Reba. And we wrote about this in the book, Knowing the Economy of God. Four-part recipe is identify the scripture, state the economic principle from that scripture, explain real-life application, daily living, and four, the prayer of change, where God does the changing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just the clay. Let the Lord do what he's got to do through his power and love to change us to obey him.
That's right. Now, we had a kid's economy a couple weeks ago, but we have moved on into more of an adult discussion.
Yes.
This particular tip number two, is a very adult topic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's shocking at times what goes on. We're talking about 10 tips for a great marriage.
Yes. The top 10 financial tips for a great marriage last week was number one. And number one, of course, was take inventory of each spouse's beliefs and convictions about the Bible. And if that is the standard each spouse would like to live by in their marriage relationship.
Inventory.
Inventory. Take inventory. What do I believe? What do you believe?
What do we want to believe?
What do we want to believe? And then grab the book and say, well, this is what God's economy is. And we need to line up towards what God says in his economy. That's obedience to God. Why? Because God blesses obedience. Mm. And that marriage will become closer, Reba.
Even if it doesn't make sense in our own eyes. The book of Proverbs is very clear about that. It doesn't have to make sense in our eyes if we're following God's principles.
Exactly. And that's why I always say on this program, Reba, it's not Tom creating all this or any other financial counselor or financial coach. This is what God says. Mm-hmm. So even if you say, oh, Tom, I don't like that. I don't want to do it. Okay. You don't have to do what I say. But what about what God says? Doesn't he matter? Mm-hmm. Don't you love him with all your heart? Mm-hmm. So I think that's important, Reba. And you have to find out if you're equally yoked to your spouse and alike with your partner in your beliefs. If you're not,
pray.
We talked about praying and getting counsel.
Pray.
Exactly. Pray, get counsel, grab the book, mm-hmm. and decide
what
you believe.
And if you're not equally yoked in that aspect, there may be some other things that you need to work on first, like praying for him in other ways, his spirituality, and then moving into your finances later after that hurdle is jumped.
Exactly, Reba. Now, today's tip number two. Here's financial tip number two, Reba.
Get ready for this, guys. I'm telling you, this is a doozy.
It's heavy, and I want you to do the talking. So here we go.
I still don't know if I'm sure I know what this means.
Okay. Tip number two, to have a great marriage, financial tip number two, no financial adultery.
Mm.
No money or financial adultery.
Whoa.
Let me explain. Mm-hmm. to build trust in the marriage. No cheating or any game playing within the financial areas or money-related issues should be taking place in the marriage relationship. We need to have integrity, Reba, mm-hmm. with our spouses, and honesty in the financial choices and decision-making that each spouse is conducting or choosing. So no financial or money adultery.
How does somebody do that?
Well, that's a good question. And one of the ways they do it is to realize that in God's economy, if you lie to your loving marriage spouse, you're hurting them. You're sinning against God. You're hurting the other person.
But how do they commit financial adultery?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain. Many people, Reba, set up financial accounts at phony addresses, like P.O. boxes, okay?
Oh.
Like at places like UPS or mailboxes, et cetera, or mm-hmm. your local post office. So they set up the account there. Mm-hmm. I've met so many people over 28 years that have not told the other person about savings accounts or debts.
Oh. I know a lot of women who do this.
Really?
Yeah.
And why?
They're scared.
Mm.
They're scared. They feel helpless. They feel like if something were to happen or if he were to leave,
if
they would be penniless, they would have nowhere to turn. So they set up a little something on the side.
Wow. So in other words, let's bring it down to what it is in that situation. Okay. And then I want to hear how you advise them or counsel them, Reba, and what you say to them when they share this with you. Here's what's taking place, okay? First of all, they're gossiping about their marriage. In my view, they're gossiping about their marriage to someone that the other spouse is not aware of that they're telling this to. How do I know that? Because they're not even telling their spouse that they have these accounts set up on the side. So they're lying twice. They're lying about what they did to God and their husband, let's say,
mm-hmm.
or their wife, which depending on which gender. And they're also gossiping, which is a sin too, talking behind that spouse's back about something very serious that should be just between the two spouses, not somebody else.
Wow.
Now, what are your thoughts there so far?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you.
Please.
As a woman that's been divorced, I'm not going to say it's right, but in my own mind, it makes sense. And I can see why in their mind at the time it would make sense. I can see the justification for it. You're a woman, you know, your spouse, maybe he's treating you bad, maybe he's angry, maybe he's maybe you don't trust him, maybe he's done some things to hurt you, and you get scared if you're not working,
yes.
if you don't have any income.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's right.
I can respect all those feelings.
But I can see their logic
yes,
in it.
I do too. In their minds. And I've said this to many counselees, because remember, Reba, about 2/3 of all the Crown counseling referrals are female that call me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because the other third are guys, but most of the men don't want to get help from another guy.
Mm.
They don't want to talk to me. It's more of a pride thing. So I understand and respect the feelings and the emotions of these ladies that you're referring
mm-hmm.
to. However, they're not trusting God because mm-hmm. the fear and not trusting God, which would replace that fear, and then take action by getting counseling,
mm-hmm.
Laying down boundaries, tough love,
mm-hmm.
going to the local elder and pastor of their church,
mm-hmm.
and setting some real boundaries out there. They're basically kind of playing inside the game that
yeah,
in their mind.
Yeah, you're right, because they're not helping the problem.
No.
They're building walls.
Yep.
They're you're right, because some of those situations, maybe some tough love is needed and they're not taking it.
Right.
There, that probably is one of the easy, like they're trying to play it safe, or
right.
they're trying to, you know, take the easy way out.
Right. And it's still not the right solution. And I'll tell you another thing, Reba.
Because then you got to hide stuff.
Hide it.
And then all of a sudden you're the bad guy too.
Exactly. That's right.
He was the bad guy. Now you're the bad guy.
Two wrongs. Do they make a right?
No, but three lefts make a right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'll try that on the freeway today.
No.
I mean, it's interesting. And you make good points, Reba, and I respect those points. I feel, though, that what happens in those cases if your friend's spouse discovers this? What would happen?
Oh, yeah, I imagine that would be. And you know, it really, it just comes back down to like what you just said. Lying, tucking things away, you know, thinking the worst, hiding things from your spouse. None of that is gonna get your marriage on the road to recovery,
right.
Even if there are really bad problems.
Exactly, Reba. But if they did find out, and we have a little bit of time before the break, if they did find out, those husbands would go crazy.
Yeah, they would. Actually, we're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We'll be right back. We're going to continue talking on this very controversial subject next.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God with host Tom Meglia and myself. Visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. Pick up a copy of Tom's latest book. Sign up for the quarterly newsletter. We're on the second tip of 10 financial tips for a great marriage. This one is, it's shocking, it's controversial, but we're going there because it really needs to be revealed.
Absolutely, and we are shocking and controversial.
It is. I'm going to say it.
Absolutely.
Financial infidelity.
Well, Reba, let me ask you, if your husband did that to you, what would you feel?
See, now, okay, before the break, we were talking about women stashing money away in bank accounts, hiding money for, you know, emergency situations or whatever you call it, but how that is adultery, financial
right.
adultery.
Right.
And as a woman, I can almost understand why they would do it. I'm not going to say it lines up biblically, but I can say I can almost understand in my human self why they would do that. But when you flip it to a man doing that, then I get angry.
Yes.
I'm like, how dare he?
I know.
I mean, that's our money.
Exactly. And in God's economy, God requires and demands honesty in relationships.
Yeah, because he would be lying.
Honesty. Honesty. God wants honesty in his economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean I think what that husband was doing to your friend or what you're referring to is right on their part? No, of course not. I don't condone anything if the husband was doing things to make their wife feel fearful and scared and all that kind of
sure.
thing. I don't condone that. But when the wife is dishonest and has, let's say she has money in separate P.O. boxes,
mm-hmm.
I run into people have for 28 years. that hide credit card purchases, have credit card accounts at P.O. boxes, money, savings accounts, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And they're able to look their spouse in the eye, Reba. How do you look someone in the eye knowing that they don't know about a $50,000 savings account that goes to a P.O. box?
Uh-huh.
And they don't look at the tax return to see the interest on the tax return schedule when it's filed every April, or credit card debts, statements from department stores that go to P.O. boxes or one of their friends or family's homes. And then they're in on the gig and in on this whole caper.
Sure.
I mean, is that what God wants for our marriages?
No, it's not.
Where's the honesty,
Reba?
It's
so dishonest.
Exactly. And that's why God's economy says honesty. And then you set your boundaries. You have to have tough love. Go to counseling. Go to the pastor, your elders, therapist. Set up a game plan for squaring things off. Yeah. Now, let me tell you about a story. Okay. I have an old friend of mine. We'll call him and his wife, Mike and Linda. And Mike did stuff like this. He had dishonesty going all over the place, Reba. He thought his wife would spend their money on store things and material things. So he opened up two business or investment accounts through brokerage companies and credit unions and used his mother's address, home address.
Mm-hmm.
His wife never read the tax return. She just signed it.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't know there was dividends, growth, capital gains.
Even if she did, it's so hard
interest
to read those tax returns.
Right. She wouldn't know. And so he had almost $80,000, a friend of mine.
Oh, my gosh.
Years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, you know, that's dishonest.
Yeah.
Well, she would just spend it anyway, and then we would be out. Oh, so I say, so the dishonesty justifies the means? That's not what God would say.
Right.
He's like, well, Tom, you bring it up with God. I go, no, you're the Christian, too. You bring it up with God, Mike. I mean, how can you say this is true and right in God's eyes?
So he stockpiled $80,000?
Just almost $80,000 in a credit union and stock brokerage investment account. Used his mother's home address.
And he thought he didn't think he could save money with her knowing.
Right, because he thought...
You know what that is.
He thought she'd
just
spend it.
He's weak.
Right.
He's the one that needs more of a backbone to be able to say, look, financially, we're going to save money.
Yep.
We're going to put money away. I'm going to put money away every month. And even if we have to eat peanut butter for a week, we're going to put money in this account and we're going to save money.
Exactly.
But he couldn't do it.
He couldn't. He couldn't.
He wouldn't do it. He would not do it. And so he blamed. So he used his weak backbone to justify lying to her.
Exactly. I said to him, does it matter in your marriage that there's dishonesty, that there really isn't trust, that she doesn't even know, Mike, what you've done on the side? What if she found out, Mike? What would she say?
That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. And he said she'd blow a fuse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Mike. She wouldn't be throwing a party.
No.
Okay? I mean, this
is... And it's a continual thing. It's not like he just, you know, got a check for 80 grand and tucked it away. This is like a weekly, monthly basis, year after year.
Yes.
I mean, that took a long time.
It did. And he tried to call it mad money. Well, I take golf vacations and stuff like that, so it's my mad money. I go, no, Mike, no. That's supposed to be in your normal budget. You need to be clean and clear with your wife. That's financial adultery. It's financial mismanagement, money adultery, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You've lied.
Mm-hmm.
How else do you want me to say it, Reba?
He did, and he did it in a really big way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that do that on a small scale all the time, but when it's on a big scale like that, it's like, whoa.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money, and that's a lot of time and a lot of lies.
Exactly. Now, let's fast forward, because we have a time thing for today. Let's fast forward. About 9 to 10 months ago, he came to me and said, Tom, guess what? She found out. I go, what? What? Wait a minute. You catch me up here. Come on. You know, well, I never did tell her. I know you said to tell her, blah, but I didn't do it. And she found out. I go, how'd she find out? Well, we changed accountants, and the accountant called the house one day and said, where do you want me to put these dividends, or something to do with dividends and interest that was made? And he was just clarifying a question. And she's like, well, I've never heard of these accounts before. Well, I don't know what they are. And so the accountant explained, and I guess Mike never knew about the accountant change that would happen. Long story short, your sin will find you out, Reba.
What did she do?
Oh, she was so mad. She cried.
Yeah.
And she was very upset with him, and now they're in therapy because she wants to know how he could not trust her.
And lie for so long.
For so long. That's adultery in a way, financial or money adultery, and it's wrong. The better thing to do is Go to financial coaches, go to therapists, your pastor, work through the tough things eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
Get a new plan, tough love, and make this thing happen. But anytime you lie, mm-hmm. you hurt your marriage.
And it's sometimes even the smaller things hurt in a bigger way. I think about the ladies who hide shoes and yeah. household items in their trunk.
Yes.
Because they don't want to tell their spouse that they went shopping again.
Oh, Reba, I hear this every single day on the job, on the financial coaching.
Yeah.
And I always say to them, you know, it's not about money. It's about lying and trust.
Yeah.
What is one of the best things in a marriage? Trust.
Yeah. And they know they're doing something wrong. That's why they're lying about it.
Exactly. What Julie and I do, my wife, when we have a purchase over a certain number, like $50, you know, nothing major, nothing too high. We just check with one another, make sure it's within our plan. How hard is that? You know,
that's good.
Yeah. How big a deal is that? You know, just want to let you know, I've got this doctor's office. They charge me this amount for my eye checkup today and this and that. Just want to let you know. And we just bounce it off each other.
Wow. Wow. That's great.
It builds trust.
Yeah, and it keeps you accountable for your purchases.
Exactly.
You know that you're going to have to say it out loud, whatever you're spending.
Right, and you said something at the break that I thought was great. People have their own accounts. They're separate. That's her money. This is my money. No, you're married. Did I say that loud enough?
To the
listeners that are driving the freeways?
I heard that in my bones.
You're married.
Mm-hmm.
You have a joint credit card investment statement, bank accounts, emergency funds,
mm-hmm.
living trust. This is a marriage. The two shall become
one bank account.
And one as
flesh.
An entity. Right.
One flesh.
Right. As an entity before God.
Yeah.
Come on, Reba. We don't want financial adultery or adultery in the fleshly sense. But what do you call lying and cheating and not telling your own best friend? Or is your spouse not your best friend?
Examine yourself right now. A lot of you listening, you know, you hear these stories, you identify with them. You know, maybe if you're a woman, you get mad at the man. If you're a man, you get mad at the woman. But stop looking outside at others and maybe take a second and check your own status. Where have you gone wrong?
Exactly. And next week, Reba, financial tip number 3 will be about premarital agreements, prenuptial agreements, premarital agreements, all the stuff people do for insurance regarding in case things turn out to be a divorce.
Mm.
How about the prayer of change?
Yeah, let's do that.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to do what you want us to do. Give us your blessing, Jesus. Meld our marriages together towards you, Jesus, by your power and love. In your name, amen.
Amen. Wow, that's tip number 2. Fantastic. Now, if you're listening and you need a financial counselor, and who doesn't? Most people do. You need to call Tom at 800-386-3700. Planning for retirement, children's education, reducing tax liability, invest for special situations, all other financial goals and objectives as well. Tom is the guy, the financial planner with more than 28 years of experience. Sign up for our online free newsletter at theeconomyofgod.com. First appointment with Tom is free. Call him today. Set up an appointment, meet and discuss your personal financial plan at 800-386-3700. Till next week.
Listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.